Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show, where the Teach Better team gets to join you live every single morning, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern. I am tired, but Jeff Gargis is Chatty Cathy today. So Jeff is going to take the show. I'm just going to sit back and drink my coffee. We'll be right back. We would love to hear you in the comments. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Teach Better Today. Jeff Gargis in the house. And right before we clicked the red button, he was like, hey, I had to vent about this. I was like, can you vent about it on the podcast like we do every other show? And he's like, no. So now I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I was actually waiting too. You said I was going to take over. I was like going to not say anything, see how long you'd let there be no speaking if you were tired and stuff.
No, I knew that. I knew that I have to be the first one to talk because I'm on this side of the screen.
So it's weird. Like, I don't do that in my head, but you and Josh definitely do. It's like, well, no, like Katie, that's where the person who leads it is. And I'm like, oh, I don't even think about it. I'm just on whatever screen I'm on. Like,
yeah, Katie's very clear about it. Like, if you ever look back at the shows that she's facilitated, she's always on that side. It's her. She's crazy, but it's fine. She just had a baby. Hey, I have a comment.
To be fair, she was crazy before she had a baby, but go on.
That's true. It's very true. I started our morning together by sending you 9 gifts in a row about how you were 1 minute late. So I just wanted
I only saw the one. Did you send a bunch?
Oh, I sent a bunch. Does anyone else?
I was in the process of logging in too. Like, and to be fair, it was Chad's fault. You did send a bunch. Jeez.
Does anyone else communicate via gifts? I feel like this is the best part of living in 2023/2024.
You started with like excited to you know, be with me, whatever. And you like had this cheers to crazy. And I went with the, how about no? And then, yes. And then I was one right at the time you sent a whole bunch of, so yeah.
So he wasn't late, but I sent him gifts.
Well, on time is late. Well, that's what my old band director used to always say.
But I just want to know, like in the comments, friends, are you communicating? Like, I only use gifts with people that I feel close to. So yeah. I feel like if you get a gift from me, I consider you as close to inner circle as humanly possible.
So like,
if a stranger texts me, I'm not going to like send him some wacky gift.
I was playing on like the gif and you add the T and it becomes a gift. So like, when does that like, is that like, because I just get gifts with no T.
Gifts with a T are awesome.
She never buys me anything.
No, I mean, I help you facilitate.
It's a one-sided like a friendship.
I mean, I help you facilitate like a team of teachers. We do that.
That is a gift. You're right.
It's a gift. And then gifts via text, I think, are incredible. When I was in Putacana, I don't know what was wrong, but my like gifts went away when I was in the Dominican Republic. A few of us had that issue where like everything was fine. We had cell service, but there was no GIF app like that comes up on your iPhone.
Well, was it possible because you were roaming in your data, so you weren't able to do iMessage, instead you were doing text?
I don't know. I would just like to file a formal complaint with the entire Dominican Republic because I missed it. And when I got back, it came back. So it was
good. On the list of stuff they need to worry about, I don't think that's super high. But I'm interested to see what happens. Send them a bunch of gifts and see if they respond.
Okay, wait, good idea. Also, separate complaint. I'm really tired. I'm just going to tell you all the issues that I would like to complain about. This is a huge positive, though. Maybe people will lean into it for the holidays. This is not an ad. I'm not being paid to tell you this. But I switched carriers for my phone. Verizon to T-Mobile. And I have no idea if there is any benefit at all besides the fact I saved $10 a month, which I'll take the win. And now I get free Wi-Fi and American flights.
That's nice. Yeah. Did you get like a new phone too? Because you switched over a lot. They usually give new phones out, no?
I didn't want a new phone. I like my phone. I just wanted.
You got the new.
Here's the newest
iPhone.
I don't want it. Here's the thing. I just want to not pay for Wi-Fi on flights, but I live for Wi-Fi on flights. And T-Mobile, for whatever reason, has done the most genius marketing, and you don't have to pay for Wi-Fi if you have T-Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I see it, it like makes me angry.
Is it just on American Airlines? Is that who they
actually
have to deal
with? I think it's United too. I don't know. I've been only flying American recently, so I don't know. But I just want to say that was the most genius partnership, because I don't actually care who runs my phone as long as I get in, as long as I can call people. And that was hands down the reason I switched. The fact that I saved $10 was just like, cool. I'm happy about that.
Benefit, yeah.
But I also, because I didn't get a new phone, did treat myself to a new case, because I'm saving $10 a month, so I can go spend that money.
So you might as well spend, 4 months of it.
Green
nice.
Okay.
You know, a Teach Better sticker will go really well on that, like sideways, like the.
I know.
Fit right in there. Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of perfect. Like, I feel like every time I see green, it's not quite Teach Better. This feels very Teach Better.
Very, very. Like, hold it up again. Come down and this way. It's almost spot on. It's a little different, but
this is lighting. Like, I feel like this is lighting that
this might just be lighting and how it shows up on the screen. That's impressive.
So again, not an ad, but I got that on Amazon. So this is not an ad for T-Mobile, Amazon, Coffee, Delta, American. This is not. I'm just telling you my thoughts. That's it.
we should partner with.
We should. Well, especially with our podcast network, there's so many companies that can be a part of sponsorships to our podcast network. I'm going to reach out to American and be like, hey, come hop on board with the Teach Better podcast network.
And they would get what, free? If you fly American, you get free podcast.
Oh, good idea. I was just thinking. No, I stop it, Jeff. Don't ruin my dreams.
Okay.
I think I need two coffees this morning. Anywho, so it's the 1st of December. November is officially
over. It's almost winter
over.
Break.
It's
officially
not,
almost winter break.
But it's not. Like, you can't say that. Our winter break is until like the 22nd.
Almost is fairly subjective.
You know what, Jeff? Jeff, it's almost my birthday too. It's almost my birthday.
It's not almost your birthday. No.
Well, almost is subjective. Almost is. It's almost March.
Yeah, but
almost.
Like subject, like your subjective opinion can also be wrong, which in this case it is.
Okay, I'm saying it's not almost winter break, because if I'm a teacher listening to that, I'm like, angry that you just said that, because that's it's true. So not. Because
I probably got 3 weeks.
Can I just say, and Jeff, I don't know how up to date you are when you're not on the show for Teach Better Today. But can I just say, I am obsessed with Lindsay Titus, because she was just on yesterday's episode. And I cannot tell you how much I need Lindsay Titus coaching in my life. We talked about Shouldville. We talked about the Edupreneur mastermind. We talked about the Creator Club. There was a lot we covered, but I needed that reminder. I feel like that's a good headspace to head into December and wrap up November, is thinking about how to continue to encourage our mindset with students and in personal life to be proactive versus being reactive. Because I think in December, we fall into thinking about the worst case scenario and how we're going to handle it versus how can we avoid certain behaviors or certain things before. That was a good reminder for me.
It was a good reminder.
Yeah.
She's been part of this family for a long time.
I know. COVID. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else is going on? It's our youngest, Mirren's birthday coming up.
Okay.
Literally
tomorrow. Yep.
Hanukkah's coming up.
Shopping is in full effect at this point.
I would like to fully admit that I have all of my shopping done for the holidays.
Really?
All of it.
That's awesome.
I know. I'm not telling you what I got you, though.
We're pretty good though. We're in a good spot right now. We don't have much left. A couple little things and.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're pretty good. The hardest part is my in-laws. I never know what to get them. I mean, when I married into the family, they got everything. So it's like, what do you buy them at this point? Like just a bow? Like,
such,
I mean,
a bad joke. You know. Such a bad joke. So bad. Well, I mean, I'm excited for December. I love this weather. It's been warm. I like the warm, but I'm also ready for some snow. I'm kind of a sucker for snow in December.
I'm ready for snow too. Yeah.
Sign me up for all the things. And I'm not really a Thanksgiving fan, so I'm glad that's over. And yeah, I'm ready for the fun. I will say, Jeff, not to like talk about something when it's over, but all of those applications were due yesterday for everything that was in the month of November.
That's
like
true.
The grid cohort and the certification process, mm-hmm. and the ambassador applications and stuff like that. So there is an excitement element for me that those committees now get to meet and like move forward on those projects, even though bringing it up, if you forgot to apply, that's okay. We still love you. Maybe you'll have another chance in the future, whatever. But
it's good stuff.
I like when, you know, obviously launching a project is exciting, especially for our Teach Better community, but I like when it gets to like get going. We have a lot planned.
Yeah, for like us, that's like another launch. Like we launched like the market and excitement, but now we get to like also like now launch the actual thing, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is fun. So
yes. And as a reminder, if you apply for something and you don't get selected, please know that all of these groups are specifically small so that we can give mm-hmm. our heart, our love, our energy to those groups, but we want you to reapply. So you probably won't find out if you're in these groups for like 4 or 5 weeks. So no stress. It's not like they're being announced tomorrow. But I also want to make sure you guys know that if there's ever a time that you apply for something and you're not selected within the Teach Better family, just apply again. It's almost like 100% based on numbers. Yeah. So.
And also know that it was likely Sarah Jessie's fault that you weren't selected. So like
poor Sarah Jessie,
she's the one to go after.
Sarah Jessie.
I don't know why I pulled Sarah for that, but you know, love you,
for
Sarah.
For those of you who may not have caught the few live streams that we have Sarah with, we have an online course with Sarah. Sarah is the beautiful designer of those incredible blog images over at teachbetter.com/blog. She does all the artwork there, and she's fabulous. She has a really good course with Katie in the Academy focused mm-hmm. on. Interdisciplinary units. So if any of you are looking for something over winter break to do, that would actually be what I would totally recommend.
Yes.
Be big. We also discussed doing a course on formative assessment. I'm just waiting for you to tell me to do that.
We did talk about that.
I think you're too tired.
Since we have so much time between now and holiday break, maybe that's what we'll do.
Oh, I'm really busy. Oh, I'm super swamped with that.
Got a lot
of
time, apparently.
Nope. I'm super busy. Speaking of busy, we have a listener question I thought we'd
Let's
get to. Are you sure? You need to wake up
I'm
a little bit.
I'm never sure.
Your energy.
Just push the button and play the thing.
Okay, hold on. I want to do it dramatically. Hey guys, welcome back to Teach Better Today morning show. We're headed into our team talk, which is the segment that, I don't know, we like to talk education. And Jeff Gargis is in the house. My name's Ray Hewart, and we're talking AI. Who's ready for this?
Ooh.
Yes. Jeff, when I was in California working with mm-hmm. a district out there about 2 hours outside of Sacramento, we did a lot of AI conversation, and I posted a ton about it on social media, but we haven't really talked about it since. And this question has to do with AI. I thought we could answer this question to an extent, but then maybe just have a general AI conversation for educators who may not be using it. Does that sound good?
Sounds
really want
fun.
More excitement. Do you want to jump around for a minute and cheer and say hi to our community?
We get to talk about AI?
Oh,
this is amazing. I'm so excited. I can't believe we get to talk about AI. Guys, AI, artificial intelligence. Let's talk about it, Ray. I am so here for this. So here for this. So go. Come on. I don't want to wait anymore. Tell me what's the question? Ask the question. Hey, I didn't pull it up. I need to know. Tell me what it is. I'm excited. Hey, Jeff. This is my excited face.
Can you define AI? You just did. What is AI?
Well, AI stands for artificial intelligence. If we're talking about that, I guess there's probably a lot of things AI could stand for.
We are talking artificial intelligence, and there is a lot of fear around this concept. I think that our conversation today is how it can be a support rather than a concern. This question says, AI grading essays. What can teachers do to help with grading essays? Is it reliable? That's what this specific question is asking about.
Having the AI grade the essay?
That's what it appears. Yes, that's what it appears this is asking about.
Interesting.
So I just want to, maybe if I can kick this off, Jeff. My first initial thoughts are, sure, you probably can find an AI tool where you could input some sort of requirements and it can, you know, kind of produce some sort of score, grade, feedback, information to you, to the students, to give, to start off the dialogue. My one element that I want to confirm about AI is not going to replace the professional teacher feedback and relationships that exist. So while AI might be able to provide information, maybe save you time in locating a certain element of the essay, maybe there's certain things you're looking for that it can kind of point to for you, I want us to be a little cautious that if we are simply doing information or simply evaluating information that AI can just output a score, we may not be requiring a high enough level of depth of knowledge, because the AI tool can just give you this exists or this doesn't exist. It's not going to be as effective in crafting effective feedback that takes the student's personality, background knowledge, and progression through learning into account. Maybe that's just how I want to start this off. What are your thoughts?
I agree with all that. Yeah, I think it can absolutely do things like, obviously, all the edit and proofreading and making notes of things totally. That can be super helpful to just, one, save you time. Also, just, you know, check your work, make sure that you're catching those little things. When it gets into the actual context of the essay, like, you can absolutely prompt and create a prompt and set it up so that the AI knows what the rubric is and what it's looking for. And honestly, if you do that correctly, it could probably give you a lot of really great feedback to provide. But noting how you said when you first kicked off, like, utilizing it as a support, I would use that as a way of providing me with making sure I'm seeing all the little things and that any of my internal biases maybe aren't playing as much of a part in how I'm reading it and how I'm doing it. But then I can take that to just help make sure I'm seeing all the little things that maybe I might have missed, or maybe just from a different viewpoint than I would have, so that then I can organize my thoughts and then deliver that to the student. To your point, Ray, of I've got the relationship with that student, I've got the communication that's going to allow me to be able to deliver it the right way. Obviously, AI is going to deliver it if you were to leave it all the way up, and I don't know that's what they were asking. Like, it's going to be very cut and dry and not build on anything. So I think the key is the word support. Use it as a support. Can you save yourself some time on it? But then it's really it's up to you. I think it's important for you to do the delivery, and also not just, I don't know that you want to 100% rely on it just yet.
So I did a TED talk in 2021 that was titled Better Than YouTube, and it didn't have to do with AI, but it really had to do with the concept of videos replacing teachers' ability to deliver information, and this concern that, you know, like, are teachers better than YouTube? Why not just use a YouTube video? And while there was a whole lot to get into with that, the concept I really wanted to get across is you're always going to be better than YouTube, because your job is not just to deliver information, right? Your job as the educator is to question, foster discussion, give personalized feedback. A YouTube video can't necessarily do that. So I think the same is with AI. AI is going to give you so many different supports. And you should, in my opinion, if you are not already, be relying on AI essentially as your collaborative partner, as your assistant. I turn to AI tools when I need help writing an email, or if you need a prompt, like you said, you know, if you have a prompt for an essay, AI could actually give you a number of different prompts, all aligned to the standards. And depending on how specific you are and whatever AI tool you might be using, it can be really, really helpful and kind of serve as a collaborative partner for you. But there is nothing that can replace a teacher's ability to make an essay come to life. You know, like we always joke that as a teacher, you can make a B plus grade feel like an A plus, or you can make it feel like an F, because that relationship element is really big. And so as you're thinking through using AI for grading, which is something we've seen before, right? Google Form can grade your students' answers, especially if it's a multiple choice component, but it's only going to be to an extent. And so I would rather encourage educators to use AI to create a foundation for then you to produce better, more efficiently, more effectively than just a black and white tool you should be using that you should be relying on wholeheartedly, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I disagree with the comparison to Google Form, but that's not what the point of the
that's not the
point. Because you, like, in theory, like, you could. And when I say prompt, I mean what you're prompting AI to do. You could absolutely get a very, very highly accurate response from AI, fully grading an essay using the prompt of your rubric. But what it cannot do is deliver that to your student in a way that's going to ensure effectively helping that student to learn and grow from that feedback. And that's where, like, and when you think about the YouTube, yeah, like, obviously you can go find YouTube, a student can go learn a million things from YouTube, but they're never going to be able to, like, work through the struggle of that as well as it can with you by the side, and you communicating that, and you directing, and you bringing that piece to it. And that's the thing where AI is, I don't know, will it eventually be better human than us? I don't know. I guess we'll find out in the future. But right now, no, it's not. Like, it's just not. It's not going to have the relationship. It's not going to have the care and the love that you have for your students. Like, and it just can't. And when it comes to grading and feedback, like, that's crucial in that. Like, you giving a damn about that student is way more important than you making sure you caught everything. Like, that's just the reality of it. So
if you have not been using AI and you are interested, first off, our team is completely dabbling with this concept. We are using it internally. We're incorporating it into training. Feel free to use us as a safe space to talk shop. There are a lot of great tools out there. It can seem overwhelming in a lot of different realms. I know personally, I use ChatGPT a lot. The subscription I have is free. I know, Jeff, you use a few different outlets. One thing I would just encourage you all to do is play with it. And that just seems to be the consistent element I can give all of you. We did an activity when I was with our group in California where we had 20 minutes to kind of play with it. And I gave them different prompts and gave them different challenges. Then we gave feedback to the AI and it adjusted and accommodated for what our feedback was. And I think that sometimes the fear is the unknown. And once you can get some of those sustainable systems, it can really be something that supports you wholeheartedly. So if you're looking for a little activity, log into your favorite AI tool, whether it be ChatGPT or something else, and ask it to do something for you, and then go from there and see kind of what it can create. So we're here to support you guys.
100%. Yeah, like, ask it to edit the essay for the first time and then go edit it yourself and compare. Because then you're going to learn, oh, this is where it does pretty good at and this is where it doesn't. And this is how I like it. And this is where I don't like how it graded that because I don't agree with it. Like, it's fun to play with. You don't have to actually use it. But when you do use it, I think the most important thing we've said so far is what you said right off the bat, Reyes. It's a support piece. It does not replace.
For me personally, guys, I love to lean on it when I'm writing an email that I feel stressed about writing. Like, absolutely, if I had a parent email, I would go to ChatGPT and I would type in, create a templated email to a parent from a teacher about a student who did XYZ while communicating concern and this end result, XYZ. And then see what it comes up with. Typically for me, I find that it comes up a little computery first, and then I give it feedback. I'm like, can you add more personality? Can you incorporate the student's name? Can you, and it's just like continuous, you're almost having a conversation with this AI tool. Can you adjust this? And then usually I get a few paragraphs where I'm like, okay, I can copy and paste this, add a little flair, and I feel comfortable sending it. But again, to me, that's like having a an assistant or a collaborative partner give me feedback on how to write an email, you know?
Which, by the way, like that right there, that process and you understanding how to utilize that tool is so crucially important for you to know how to do so you can teach your students how to use that. Because they're never going to live in a world without AI. And this is the worst it's going to be ever for them. And if they know how to use it, it can be a huge advantage for them moving into whatever the heck the world's going to look like. So you understanding that is really important. So
yeah,
I've used it before where it's like, how do I say XYZ nicely? Or professionally, because you're like, oh my, I want to say something. I have this feedback or a complaint, but I don't want to come off the wrong way because I'm not actually angry. I just need to, and I don't know the words to say. And sometimes it's gonna come out computery. I like that word.
Yeah,
you have to say, give it. Can you be a little more humorous, or can you be this, or be lighthearted, and so yeah.
I like one of the things I did is we had recently we just did a free Teach Better introduction with a school in Ohio. And I had them put in like copy and paste their ugly standard, right? The standards that are super wordy and everything. And I was like, give me three real world scenarios that an 8-year-old would understand. And so if you don't add that an 8-year-old would understand, it gives you three different scenarios. And then actually what I had them do is go back and say, actually, can you make it so easy that an 8-year-old can understand it? And then it gave us three different ones. So again, it's just like trying to look at how it can adjust our thinking. But okay, we have spent way too much time on this. I hope you guys reach out to us if you have questions. We are going to wrap up our today show, but feel free to reach out. And we appreciate all of you. We hope you have an amazing, amazing weekend. And we'll see you soon, guys. Bye, guys. Hey, Teach Better community. Thank you so much for joining the Teach Better Today morning show every single weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have so many resources for you outside of this live stream at teachbetter.com, including blogs, podcasts, and professional development that will bring our team to your school. Wherever you are listening from this morning, please make sure you are sharing and celebrating the incredible educators in this world. And hey, if you are listening over on a podcast to Teach Better Talk, we would love a 5-star review. The comments are always so entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.